Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 17 says this. It says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well doing as unto a faithful Creator." Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing of the reading of His word tonight. Our Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this day, Lord. God, I thank you for the honor and privilege to be in your house with your people tonight, God. God, I pray that you would help us and that you would touch us for a little while, God. God, I pray that you would calm our nerves, that you would bring back to my remembrance what I've studied, what you've gave me, Lord. God, I pray that you would give me clear understanding of that tonight, clear presentation, Father. God, most of all, God, I pray that you'll be high and lifted up tonight, God. Have me to say only what you want me to say, nothing more, nothing less. God, I pray you save that sinner close to hell, restore the backslidden, and I'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name I pray it. Amen and amen. You to be seated tonight. Now, as I began studying, I began looking. I'm one of my resolutions, if you will, for the beginning of this year is that I wanted to study my Bible more than I did in the previous year. I wanted to not just read it more, but I wanted to get in depth and study. Even if I don't read it out the entire year, I just want to study it more than what I did. So I began by doing word studies, and I began looking at things. And one word that stood out to me that I began doing a word study on is the word time. And I got to studying that, and of course one of the references that come up is this verse here where it says, "For the time is come." For the time is come. So for our scripture tonight, we're just using one of these little verses here where Peter's letting us know about God's timetable, God's clock here. And I'd like to preach simply on the thought tonight of God's alarm clock. Of God's alarm clock. And we're going to go several different places. Someone has said that an alarm clock is a contraption designed to scare the daylight into us. I like that. We need the daylight scared into us. I pray this message will be God's alarm clock to awake the sleeping saints. There are several times in the Bible we'll find tonight when God mentions what time it is according to His time clock. We're going to look at four of them tonight. And can I say this? God's alarm clock is going off all around us in this world. Let us take the Bible and just mention a few of them this evening. First of them, let's turn with me to Romans chapter number 13. Romans the 13th chapter. And I'll just show you one verse here. Romans chapter number 13 and verse number 11. The Bible says this. It says, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe." So I'd say first, God's the first event, God's alarm clock is it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. And what did he say? "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." God is saying, wake up. There's such a great need in the day and age which we live for the slumbering saint to awaken in this day. Hey, I'll give you a little illustration. A man came into church and he thought that he would impress his pastor. So he said, "Pastor, give me a good prayer to pray unto entertaining the sanctuary." The pastor knew him and knew his habits. So the pastor suggested, "Why don't you pray? Now I lay me down to sleep." You may think it's comical, but I've been in churches like that where they've had a competition, one snoring on the front pew on this side and one snoring on the... I'm telling you, it's like dueling banjos going on. And I could tell it's go on and on. But God's alarm clock is going off all around us and we're still asleep. Where is the church at today? The church has went to sleep. Why is it that things are happening in our nation the way that they're happening today? It's simple. The church has fell asleep. When our teenagers are being overtaken by the things of this world and Satan's got a grasp on our communities, on our country in this day, and where do we find the church people? Asleep on the pew. We're perfectly content coming in on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Hey, the ones that are still coming to church, amen, the ones that are serious, that is, will they still come in and we'll sit down on our pew in our Sunday best. We'll sit there, we might say amen two or three times, and then we go to the house. But what do we do throughout the week? We go to sleep. We're spiritually asleep today. And we see that someone once said that the average church member comes into church, sits down, and hangs a sign around their neck that says, "Please do not disturb." And how true we find that today. We come into church, we don't want no one, we want to hide out in the back, we just want to go about our day, whatever we can do to make our conscience better, whatever we can do to make us feel better, to make us think we're doing God a favor. Listen, I don't know if you realize this or not this evening, but God don't owe us anything. He don't owe us anything. We owe Him everything. But we're not doing Him a favor by coming to church on Sunday. We're not doing Him a favor by dropping our money in the offering plate. Hey, and you ought to if you're saved. Even if you ain't saved, I'll take your money too. Amen? Somebody say amen right there. But listen, it's the time that the church people are awakening in the day and age which we live. It's time they awaken this day. The Bible teaches us that time is short. What did the Bible say? What is our life but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanish? I think back to some years ago, back to the time when I was riding the church van here. And I remember on a Sunday morning, the pastor, he preached a message on that verse. What is life but a vapor that appeared for a little while and vanished? He had that little smoke machine that he said here, and it would burst that little burst of fog, and it would dissipate. And you know what? That's what the Bible compares our life to. I like to think about it. If you walk outside any time in the morning this time of year and you know what happens? You can see your breath. The Bible compares that vapor to our life. It appeareth for a little while and then it vanishes. So we need to believe that time is short. Time is short. And what did the verse say in Romans 13? It says, "For our salvation is nearer than when we believed." Now there are three tenses to salvation. I was saved, I am now being saved, and I shall be saved. So I'd say this first. I was saved from the penalty of sin. I was saved from the penalty of sin. I am being saved from the power of sin. Oh, but one day there's coming, I will be saved from the presence of sin. From the presence, what a good day that's going to be. What a good day that's going to be when we get to heaven one day. It seems like the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the sleepier the church people are getting. There are God's alarm clock going off everywhere. There are signs everywhere. There are war signs. There are earthquake signs. There are outer space signs. There are the apostasy signs. There are signs of the return of Israel to the Holy Land. Dr. Vance Havner said he was riding on a train with a man and discussing the signs of time. The man was so amazed, he said, "Dr. Havner, if someone wrote it in a book, nobody would believe it." To which he replied, "Sir, somebody has written it in a book and nobody believes it." Listen, I don't know if you realize this or not, but it's not a game anymore. It's never been a game, but it's not a game. This thing's real. It's time to get serious about doing something for God in these days. Hey, listen, the Bible said that the time coming when no man can work. I'm afraid we're very close to those times. Very close to those times. We see what's going on in these communist countries across the world, and I'm afraid that it's getting closer and closer to home in these days. It's up to the child of God now more than ever to get determined to do a work for God, to want to do something for the Lord in these days. It's not a time to back up or to back down. It's not a time to resign. It's a time to refire and just keep going and do a work and press towards the mark for the high calling of the Lord today. It's time to do a work for the Lord. I ask you this, how many gospel tracts have you handed out this week? How many people have you told about the Lord? Listen, there's going to come a day, and it scares me to death. And that day when the great white throne judgment comes, look, we may not be judged there, but I do believe we'll be able to see it happen. I do believe we'll be in audience there. And when those people that we worked with 40 hours a week, saw them more than our family a lot of times. We brushed shoulders with them every day and never had the courage to tell them about the Lord. What a sad day that's going to be. What a sad day that's going to be. I thought about this. There's some things you'll miss out on when you fall asleep. There's some things you'll miss out on when you fall asleep. And I'll tell this one, and it's a funny one on myself. It's no surprise. I've made a couple questionable decisions in my life. couple questionable decisions. Well, I remember one time I was gonna ride with Preacher Barker and a couple other preachers to a meeting. And they said, okay, we're going to leave at this time in the morning. You be there, we'll meet you, we'll pick you up, and we'll go to meeting together. Well, about an hour and a half after I was supposed to meet them, I woke up that morning. Missed it entirely. You see, what had happened was that I'd fell asleep and I'd missed out on the opportunity of what the Lord was going to do there. I thought about some people in the Bible that fell asleep and missed out. Consider Peter, James, and John in Luke 27. When Jesus was praying, and the Bible says that an angel appeared from heaven and strained Jesus, and that his sweat became a great drops of blood. And where were Peter, James, and John? Asleep. Asleep. They missed out on a prayer meeting where the literal windows of heaven opened up simply because they were asleep. Simply because they were asleep. What about Eutychus? What about Eutychus in Acts chapter number 20 when Paul was preaching till midnight? What happened? He fell asleep and he fell from the window. You know what it says? He was taken up dead. He was taken up dead. Think about what Eutychus missed out on because he fell asleep. And you and I, friends, as Christians today, if we don't wake up, if we continue to sleep on what's going on, if we continue to be asleep, oh, it's going to be a grave day. You know what happens eventually? You wake up like I did that morning, you realize that you missed it. That you missed out. And that's what's going to happen one day if the church doesn't get serious. Think about Jonah on that ship. When he was traveling, what happened? He was asleep. And what did they tell him? They said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? You know what happened? He was asleep and he was missing out on what was going on. And because of, you know, what ultimately happened, he got cast out of that ship. And I know it was all in the Lord's will, and he got swallowed by that fish. But it's all because he was asleep. He's asleep. He missed out on everything. So I'd say first it's time to wake up, but I'd say it's time to face up. It's time to face up. What did 1 Peter 4 say again? What did 1 Peter 4 say? For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? So what he's saying? God is saying here in Scripture that it's time for judgment to start at the house of God. There are two kinds of judgment spoken about in Scripture today, in this Scripture. The first is the corrective judgment of the church. The second is the condemnation judgment of the sinner. The corrective judgment for the church is for the churches of this day to face up to the fact that we are going through some hard times. We're going through some hard times. Some of these fair weather Christians are going to have to make up their mind as to whether or not they're going to serve Jesus or not. You know, I thought about this. I've read the Bible and I've been in church practically my entire life, pretty much ever since I was 11 years old. And you know what I've never found in studying my Bible? I've never once found a fence for somebody to straddle. Not once. Not once. I've found some walls that need to be built, some foundations that need to be built, and some roots that need to be rooted. But I've never once found a fence for somebody to straddle. Either you're all in or you're all out. The Lord referred to that in Revelation. What did he tell that church? He said, because you're neither hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I'll spew thee out of my mouth. It means it makes God sick. Makes him sick because we're straddling the fence. It's time that we get serious about doing something for the Lord. It's time we get serious about serving God. It's time that we quit worrying about who's looking and what's going on and doing it for man's applause. And we do it because we want to do a work for the Lord and because the Lord has called us to do that. It's time to face up. We've seen now all the time to the old rugged cross, however be true. But you know, that may be challenged sooner than we think. May be challenged sooner than we think. I read about martyrs that have died for the cause of Christ. Great men like William Tyndale that died so that we could have the Bible that we hold in our hands today. And great men of God that have died martyrs to the Christian faith. And we think, well, that was a different time, that was a different day. Hey, the day may come, we may get the opportunity to prove whether we're that dedicated or not. We say what I've got is, we say that I would die for what I believe. We may get the opportunity to see if we're being for real. We may get the opportunity to see if we really mean it. If we really mean it. I imagine there'll probably be a lot in that day like Peter. To say, Lord, I'll go with you to death. I'll go with you to death. And then the first little bit of hardship comes along. What happened? He denied him. He denied him. I believe that's probably a lot of what will happen when that time comes. It's time to face up. Then that condemnation, judgment of the sinner, like I talked about already, is that dreadful day at the great white throne judgment. At the great white throne judgment. We say that, and we go past it. And the thing is, preachers, we speed past that to get to the judgment seat of Christ and to get to heaven and the millennial reign. We love to talk about that, but I don't think we truly comprehend the great white throne judgment. We say, well, I'm saved, my family's saved. So many times that's the mentality that we've developed in this day and age. This my four and no more. This I'm going to sit on my pew, I'm going to give my tithe, my family's saved and going to heaven, and who cares what happens to everybody else? That's happened. Like the preacher said this morning, we've lost our passion. We've lost our passion. You know what happens in this day and age, and it's sad. But somebody comes into the church, they don't look exactly like we look. They don't dress exactly like we do. They come from a rough part of town. You know what we do? They have to sit isolated. Oh, and our church is really good about this. Our church is really good about a visitor being alone is an emergency situation. And we're really good about that here. But you go to some churches, and someone that looks a little different than them comes in, they don't speak to them. They ain't going to shake their hand. They're not going to give them the time of day because they don't fit in with what they think they're supposed to look like. Listen, what happened to go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled? That's everywhere. I guess that's one of the things I love about preaching in prison, the jails. They all look the same. They all wearing the same thing. They all locked up just as much as the other one is. There ain't none of that. They come together and they worship together. Because there's none of that. They know that none of them is any better than the other one. And it'd do us all a lot of good to develop that same mentality. To develop that, know that the only thing that we deserve is to be in hell today. That the only thing that we deserve is to die without God and die and go to hell. Do us all a lot of good in these days. So I thought about this. It's time to wake up. It's time to face up. But it's time to sober up. It's time to sober up. What did 1 Corinthians 7, 29-30 say? It says, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. What is the Apostle Paul saying here? He's saying that we as Christians ought to be living in the urgency of the time. The urgency of the time. Can't you tell that we are living in a day when things are happening very quickly? Very quickly. Things are changing day after day after day. From day to day, hour to hour anymore, things are changing. But this is a time to be serious. Paul was telling the Corinthians that it was time to put some things first. In verses number 29 and 30, Paul tells the Corinthians that our people cannot come first, that our families can't come first. He tells them that our problems cannot come first. He tells them that our pleasures cannot come first. He tells them that our possessions cannot come first. But it is time to put the cause of Christ first and foremost. First and foremost. This past year, you know what I believe that a lot of us has done, and I'm just guilty as anybody else. We put all that on the back burner. We've put every bit of that on the back burner. And we've said, well, COVID's hit, my job's shut down, I got to put my family first. I got to put this first. But if we'd have just trusted God, he'd have took care of every bit of that anyways. We just trusted him, he'd took care of every bit of it. What did 1 Peter 5:8 say? Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I know I've probably gave this illustration here before, and it was great listening to Brother Heath's message on Wednesday, talking about the lions and all of that, and it was wonderful. I listened to it, and me and my wife, it was great. But I thought about that lion, and I've gave this illustration here before, but it helps me, and it helps me every time I say it, so I'm going to say it again. Some things are worth saying again. But the Bible says right here that your adversary, the devil, walked about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, I begin to study lions, some things about lions. Lions are known as many things, the king of the jungle. They're known as the ultimate predator. But one thing you'll find interesting about a lion is that a lion has no known predator. A lion has no known predator. The lion is the ultimate predator. So when you read 1 Peter 5:8 in that sense, it seems pretty drear. It seems pretty dark, and it seems depressing. And that bothered me for a while. Well, Lord, why would they refer to the devil as a roaring lion if the lion has no known predator? Then one day, how many of you like to watch that Big Cat Diaries on the Animal Planet? Watch them lions fight. It's nice. I enjoy it. But you see what happens? I notice that the lion has one predator, a bitter lion. An even bitter lion is the only predator of a lion. So you know what? I begin to read. You'll find that John in Revelation, he turned to see lion from the tribe of Judah and turned and saw a lamb as it had been slain. So whenever that little lion, the devil, comes crawling up on your back, he begins to tell you where you've been and tell you, hey, what's happened in your life. Bring up that past and begin to oppress you. We need to just let the bitter lion fight our battle for us. You can tell him where else you've been. You can tell him that you've been by Calvary, that you've been saved by the crimson flow of Calvary, that Jesus has paid it all, and that the bitter lion will beat the smaller lion every single time. And although the devil, he may roar, he ain't nothing more than a kitten compared to the Lord. It's time to sober up in these days. It's time to sober up in these days. Realize that it's time to do something for the Lord. It's time to quit, to take our eyes off of everything else and realize that it's time to put our blinders on and do a work for the Lord. It's time to refocus on some things this year. That's what we're doing here at the church. We're refocusing on some things this year. And listen, we're not refocusing on our pleasures or our possessions, but we're refocusing on the Lord. Getting things back in line, getting things back in order. We've let last year get us all off track, let us throw us off. I know we still had a great year. 2020 was still one of the greatest years of my life. But listen, it's time to refocus. It's time to sober up, get back on track, get back to what we're supposed to do here. And then I'll give you this last one, and I'm done. I told you it wouldn't be long tonight. But it's time to wake up, it's time to face up, it's time to sober up. But it's time to look up. It's time to look up. What did Hosea 10:12 say? It says, sow yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. For it's time to seek the Lord. What time is it? It's time to look up. It's time to seek the Lord. Fallow ground, it's that ground that cannot be broken up. It's laying waste. It's time to break up our fallow ground. I'm afraid that what had happened last year was that a lot of our ground had become fallow. It's gotten hard. It's gotten rocky. You can't do nothing with it. You know what it's time to do in 2021? It's time to break up that fallow ground and press on and do something for the cause of Christ. Luke 21, 27, 28 says this, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. It's going to be a real good day when the Lord comes back. It's going to be a real good day. I believe it to be any minute. Be all right if it happened right now. Be all right. Hey, listen, I'm looking forward to that day that the eastern skies don't split one of these days. We like to say, well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to get up there. We're going to see our loved ones that's gone on before. And we may do that, sure enough. But that's not my first thing on my agenda, friend. You say, why? Because they're not the one that died for me. They're not the one that bled for me. They're not the one that took my nails, took my cross, took that crown of thorns. Hey, no, it was them. And that's who I'm looking forward to see. I love this verse, and I'll read it to you. Revelation chapter number 20, 22. Revelation 22. I'll read this one verse, and then I'll be done this evening. Any of you preachers ever think the devil makes you pages stick together? Revelation chapter number 22 and verse number 4. And I'll read the first six words, and it says this, and they shall see his face. And they shall see his face. That's going to be a real good day, friend. Better than seeing my daddy that's gone on to heaven. Better seeing them loved ones that's gone on by. Oh, it's going to be a real good day when our faith ends and becomes sight. We see the one that bled for us and the one that died for us and the one that gave up the ghost, not because he had to, but because he wanted to, friend. If you ain't thankful for Calvary, you can't be thankful for nothing. But I'm glad that over 2,000 years ago, he laid his life down willingly on the cross for you and I, friend, so that one day that we could see his face. So that we could see his face. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're lost, you don't have that promise. You don't have that promise of seeing his face. I'll be real honest, if you come to church here and you're lost, it ain't going to do you no good to refocus because you ain't ever been focused in the first place. Be a real good night to get saved tonight. Church, it's time to wake up. God's alarm clock is ringing loud, and it's time to wake up and do something about it.